First of all, welcome so much to Kadampa Center. How many people are here for the very first time tonight? Yeah, be real. This is Buddhist, so you cannot lie. How many are here for the very first time? Okay, well, welcome. Have you ever been to, those of you that raised your hands just a minute ago, how many of you have never been to a Buddhist center ever? Oh, this is awesome. So you won't know when I make a mistake. My name is Sandy Carlson. I'm going to be leading the class tonight. And I think one of the first things that I want to do, and I know this is going to take a few minutes, but I'd like to go ahead and do it anyway, is I want to pass a mic around, and I want you to introduce yourselves. I want you to tell me your name. I want you to tell me where you're from. Where do you call home? And I want you to tell me your experience with Buddhism. Have you ever heard of it that much? You know, basically a short reason of why you're here, okay? Not a big long thing because we've got a lot of people to go around. But this, we're starting a 5-week course here. And part of this is going to be discussion, okay? So it helps if we're very comfortable with each other, we get to know each other, because the way that we're going to go through this class is I'm going to just impart some information and we're going to talk about it. So I do want you to all introduce yourselves, just your name, where you're from, and a brief reason about why you're here and what your expectations are with Buddhism. Have you ever gone to another center before? Have you been reading books? Have you been studying? Okay. Scott has the mic. You know what, Scott? You go ahead and start.
Okay. My name is Scott Miller, and I've been coming here to Kadampa Center for, I guess, a little over 5 years. I sometimes lead the Buddhism in a Nutshell classes, so I'm here just to kind of help out. And also, you know, Sandy is a very diligent student of Buddhism and is here all the time and has been preparing very, working a lot to prepare for this class. So I'm sure she's going to come up with some really great ways of explaining things. So I'm here to borrow things from her to use for my next class.
You're to back me up, like I said.
So here we go.
Pass it right around.
Okay, my name is Brene Brown, and I came here because I've been studying Buddhism in school, and I found it interesting.
Okay, excellent.
My name is Brianna Brown, and I've...
Your support for her?
Yes.
Is that what's going on? That's all right.
I've just been interested in it since school.
Okay.
And I graduated a long time ago, so...
Okay, that's awesome. Little support is always good, absolutely.
My name is Julie Tomlinson, and... I've been to a lot of Buddhist temples before. I lived in Southeast Asia for a long time.
Okay.
And a friend of mine who is a member of this, I told her what my philosophies are. She said, Julie, you're Buddhist. You got to come to the Kadampa.
Check it out.
So she said, told me when the class is, so that's I'm here.
Okay.
I'm Denise. I'm from South Carolina originally, and I'm just trying to find something new in my life.
Checking it out. All right.
I'm Erin. I live in Raleigh. I've been coming to Kadampa since January. I've already taken the class with Scott, but no offense, Scott. I want to try it again, see what else I might learn. So I'm here for round two.
Okay. Mm-hmm. She might know when I make a mistake, then there you go.
My name is Rachel. I live in Clayton, and I come to the class tonight because I'm interested to learn.
Okay.
My name's Patrick. I'm from Clayton, and I study religion as a hobby.
Okay. He, too, might know.
My name's Amanda. I'm from Clayton, and I'm interested in learning about the philosophies.
Okay.
I'm Adrian. I'm also from Clayton.
Yeah, Clayton. Do y'all know each other?
Yeah.
You came as a group.
And we're here.
Oh, big
together,
support. So. She just brought one. You brought many. Okay.
So
all right.
Here just to learn and see what it's about.
My name's Austin. I'm from Clayton, and my older sister is a Buddhist. She comes here she's been here for a few months now.
Okay.
And I just wanted to learn some more.
Okay.
Hello, my name is Eric. I'm from Clayton also, and I'm coming here to learn about Buddhism and as a spiritual outlet, sort of something new in my life.
Okay.
I'm Chris. I'm not from Clayton. I'm from Pinehurst. I've studied yoga for many, many years. I'm a massage therapist.
Okay.
And I feel this would be good for me because it's your inner spirit, and I'm searching for that.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Joe. I'm from
Wake Forest area, and I have a good friend who practices Buddhism, and he'd been encouraging me for years to check it out. And this is the first chance I've had to get down here and have that opportunity.
Okay.
I'm Anna Maria. The only other time I've been here or anywhere else that has the word Buddhism in its name was on Sunday morning. So the reason I'm here is because I recently found out that me and my mind can be strangers sometimes, so I'm here to try and fix that.
Okay.
My name is Elizabeth. I'm from California, actually. We just moved here to Raleigh, and I'm interested in Buddhism as an alternative to Christianity.
Okay, wait. Where in California?
San Francisco.
Hey. I was born down in Victorville, George Air Force Base. I've lived all over California, so you and I can talk.
Well, then the three of us have something in common.
There you go.
I'm originally from Orange County, California.
Oh, there you go.
My name is Eric, and I'm interested in Buddhism also. I've been taking yoga classes for a number of years, and I'm looking for some change.
Okay.
My name is Suzanne. Sorry, I just went blank. I have a lot of brain farts, so I need a little bit more focus in my life.
We can talk.
I've read several of the Dalai Lama books, mm-hmm. which have spoke to me. And the closest I've been to Buddhism is when I was at the art museum, we had Tibetan nuns come and do a mandala and a healing ceremony, as well as a couple other ceremonies. And I worked with them, and that was incredibly meaningful to me. So that's why I would like to learn a little bit more.
Hi, my name is Rob, and I'm from Raleigh. And I'm here because I like learning about different peaceful religions, for sure. And the Buddhists that I'm aware of in the world all seem really happy and cheerful. And I find that attractive.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. My name is Hilma. I am from Colombia, but I am also living in Raleigh, and I am looking for spiritual answers.
Okay.
Hi, Sandy. Hi, everybody. My name is Lloyd, and for the year that I've been living in the Triangle, I've been coming to Kadampa, and when I heard that Sandy was going to teach the class, I wanted to come.
You couldn't give me a hard time, weren't you?
I'm not going to give you a hard time, I promise.
I'm going to be calling on you.
Hi, my name is Autumn, and I did live in Raleigh for a very short time last year, and I was a part of the Buddhism in a Nutshell, bought the book, started that, and then I had to move back to Ohio. So I'm here visiting, so I just thought I'd come again tonight.
Okay.
Thank
well,
you
welcome back.
Hi, my name is Kathy. I live in Raleigh. I have been practicing meditation as a way of mindfulness for quite some time, but my knowledge of Buddhism is very limited, so I'm curious.
Okay.
Good evening. My name's Robin. I live here in Raleigh, and I have tried to study Buddhism on my own through readings and texts, mm-hmm. but I have to say that the documentary on the Buddha that was been showing on PBS really helped to bring the whole teachings alive, and that's when I thought that this was the time to proceed and learn more.
My name's Michael. I'm from Raleigh. I've attended the Meditation 101 class, and I wanted to attend this one to learn more.
Hi, I'm Daniel. I'm from Raleigh, and I would just like to learn more about Buddhism.
Hi, my name is Al. I know very little about Buddhism, but hoping to learn more, and that it will somehow benefit me and in turn benefit those around me.
Okay. I'm Erin. I'm from Northern Virginia, and I don't know very much about Buddhism, but I'm a therapist and really into mindfulness, and so I'm really interested to learn more.
Hi, my name is Maureen. I'm from Virginia, but I live here in Raleigh right now. I'm here to, searching for spiritual and peaceful inspiration. And I know a little bit about the meditations, but I definitely want to learn more about the whole concept of Buddhism. I know some of the history, but I would just want to learn more. Excuse me.
Hi, I'm Paula. I'm a Raleigh native. I grew up here in Southern Baptist Church. Been on a bit of a spiritual journey. I've been here a couple of times on Sunday mornings, but really didn't get what was going on. So that's why I'm here tonight.
Okay. Hi, I'm Gabrielle. I live in Raleigh. I'm originally from Ireland, but it goes back.
I want to call on you a lot just to hear that accent.
Yeah, my accent always gives me away.
I love it.
Anyway, I'm interested in Eastern religions, okay. Far East religions, and I'm looking for personal direction at this stage.
Okay.
Spiritual. Whatever.
Thank you. My name is Jim. I'm from Holly Springs, and I've been to a few Sundays here, and one of the reasons I'm here this evening is to hear Sandy explain to me what are the meanings of all the various words that I have no idea what they mean, and Om Tare, Tu Tare, you know.
Tu Tare, so high. Okay.
So I'm here to learn.
Hi, I'm Jackie, and I'm married to Jim, and I second everything he said. We started coming about 5 weeks ago, and I am very happy here. Hello, Erin. You were at the same meeting I was, new members, so I'm just looking to learn more.
My name is Amnon. I live 5 minutes from here or less. I'm here to be here and see what I absorb.
And you've been here a lot.
I've been here for a long
time. Off and on. Yeah. Okay. Well, welcome back again, too.
Hi, my name is Christian, and I was born in Pennsylvania, but I now call Knightdale my home, which is right outside of Raleigh. And Buddhism has been a part of my life since I was 10 years old. Went with my family to Hawaii and discovered a book in the hotel room, Teachings of Buddha. Started reading it, and just it's been a part of my life since. And most of that, I've been solitary practitioner. You know, didn't really have an opportunity to practice with a group that I knew of at the time. And then I moved down here, and for the past several years, I've been in various groups and things, but I've been here mostly with the past month or so. So I'm here to learn more.
Okay. Christian, I'm going to have you turn that mic off. There's a button. I'm going to teach you all how to do this, okay? Because this is going to be part of it. Yep, push it until that green light goes off. Now set it on the chair. Christian has the mic, everybody, okay? I abdicate responsibility. It's now his. All right. The reason that we're using that mic is because with our discussion, we tape the audio for this, all right? And just so we can refer back to it later, it will be our wonderful volunteer that takes care of all of the audio will be placing all of the recordings from this class on the computer out in the lobby. So if we ever want to refer back to different classes and things, we can go there and just bring a little jump drive, and you can download this class and really actually for right now any others. So, like, if you miss a class or something and you want to go back to it, you can download it that way. And if you all don't talk into a microphone, then they hear me, and then they hear nothing. And then they hear me, and we wish that we knew what the question was, okay? So we're going to try to use that mic. So please help me to remember when you're going to ask a question. We're going to start a discussion that we pass that mic around, okay? So, again, my name is Sandy Carlson, and I have been studying Buddhism for many, many years, all right? And I, too, studied on my own for a very long time. One of the questions a lot of people ask is, what was your first exposure to the Dharma? That's kind of a Buddhist question. And when I was a child, my mom bought me the book, The Treasure Cat, and it's out there. I bought it again like 5 times, shared it, passed it out with family and friends. But that was my first exposure to Buddhism, and for whatever reason, I was very attracted to it, okay? My parents were military, so we've lived all over the world. There's 3 of us kids, okay? My sister is Lutheran, my brother's Catholic, and I'm Buddhist. Go figure, okay? But they opened the world to us, and they allowed us to explore.
our own spirituality, and they really fostered that openness. And my husband's Christian-based. So, yeah, you go to our house and you've got a weird mix of everything. But I studied on my own for many, many years and actually didn't label myself Buddhist for a very long time. It was obviously what I was, but I just kind of, you know, fought labeling. When I came here to the center, boy, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I felt like I'd come home. And I will say that since I came here to the center, this is going to answer some of those questions just from my own perspective, that when I came here and started working with the spiritual teachers and guides here, the Sangha, what we call the Sangha, our monks and nuns here at the center, I just felt like my spiritual growth just went leaps and bounds. You know, many of those things that we read that seem so esoteric, so deep, you know, I had a lot of those aha moments. All of a sudden it's like, oh, that's what that means. I still do that to this day. But I had a lot of those that the first year it was like all of a sudden it just felt like things kind of clicked into place for me. I've taken the 2-year Discovering Buddhism course. I'm still working on the 14th module. I'm going to explain some of the classes and what goes on here at the center, so we'll kind of go over a history of that so you understand. But while we have phenomenal teachers here, Scott, I'm going to be stealing a lot of your lines. Okay, we do have phenomenal, phenomenal teachers here. Our resident instructor is Geshe Gelug Choda. He is a Tibetan monk from India. And he is not only a Geshe, which means that he is taken the 30-year courses. You know, it's 20 to 30 years in order to get that title Geshe. That's like a doctorate, okay? His name is Gelug Choda. His title is Geshe. Not only is he a Geshe, he's a Larumpa Geshe, okay? So that's kind of like summa cum laude. So he is really amazing. If you have not had a chance to see him yet or hear him teach, he's here on Sundays. And that we have 2 sessions on Sundays, one from 9 to 10:15 and then 10:45 to noon. And the Sunday teachings are very open to everyone. He keeps those very general. People of all faiths, all levels, all everything, all cultures come to the center and are welcome to the center. And the Sunday teachings are very, like I say, very general, more about methods to get through everyday life. So anybody can come and get quite a bit from that. Okay, so that's very general. Monday nights we have Discovering Buddhism courses. That's a 2-year course that is broken up into 14 different modules. They take about 5 to 6 weeks, sometimes 7 weeks, depending on the module. And those modules will go very much more deeper diving. Okay, Buddhism in a nutshell, we're going to go skipping across the top of a lot of things. Karma, the Four Noble Truths, Buddhism, the life of the Buddha. You know, we're going to kind of skip over the top. Hopefully this will provide a teaser for you that if you're more interested, you'll take the Buddhism in a nutshell courses and they'll deeper dive, okay? So they'll take 6 weeks on karma. You know, we're going to take, you know, 15 minutes, maybe a little longer. But okay, so that's Discovering Buddhism. That's on Monday nights. Tuesdays or Thursdays, depending on the teacher at the time, is the Buddhism in a Nutshell course. And this alternates with Meditation 101. So about every 5 or 6 weeks, we'll have another Buddhism in a Nutshell, then Meditation 101, then Buddhism in a Nutshell. So we constantly are offering this. This is a great refresher course, and I discovered that when I was refreshing myself in order to lead this class. And Meditation 101 is a great basic class. You know, I'll come back to it every once in a while, even though I've been meditating forever, because different teachers teach different things, so you can always pick up something. And just as a refresher, just to come back to basics is always good. So we have those classes are on Tuesdays or Thursdays. Wednesday nights here at the center, we have classes with Geshe-la again. He's got a special class on Wednesday nights that is actually about the Lam Rim, which is the stages on the path to enlightenment. And that is, just, again, we're going to go over all of this in depth. But you are more than welcome to come to anything at the center, okay? You don't even have to be a member. We don't charge any money to come to classes. There's nothing that you really can't come to unless there's a specific class that needs some kind of basic requirement in it or anything. But feel free to come to anything at the center. Please go online. The website is kadampa-center.org. If you're interested, there's a lot of good information on there, and there's a lot of activities going here at the center. And we have a wonderful, wonderful community. So please, I want you to feel welcome to come. All right, we've got people here of all faiths, all cultures, all ages. It's all good, all right? So let's, I'm going to keep moving. And I can tend, I'm going to be really honest and say, I can go all off on these tangents, okay? And I'm going to try to keep track of that. So if I all of a sudden start, you know, going all the way over here, because this is something I'm very passionate about, I'm going to try to pull it back. I'm going to have a few rules for this class. Don't let me go too far over. The other thing is, this is Buddhism in a nutshell, so I really want to try to keep it at that level, okay? Because that's really why you're here. Okay, if, you know, I know some of the questions are going to start deep diving, and we'll go there, and then I'm going to pull it back, okay, because we have people here that are here for beginning Buddhism. All right, so we're just, again, sometimes I can do this, so you guys have to help me and just go, Sandy, shoo, gone, bring it back, all right? Tell me, because this is our class. I really want this to be interactive and stuff. Just ask me questions. We'll get this going. Logistics, all right? There are bathrooms in the back, okay, around the corner. Just go to the left. Feel free if you need, you know, if you need to use anything during the classes, go for it, all right? There's drinking water, hot tea. Sometimes we have coffee out there, so help yourself. You're welcome to bring it in here. I guarantee you somebody's going to spill. There's, you know, napkins and paper towels in the kitchen. Help yourself. We're pretty much a volunteer organization around here, so I'm going to, you know, the kitchen is past the bathrooms. Again, help yourself in there. If you do use a glass and a cup, take it to the kitchen, wash it yourself, put it in the sink, because otherwise I have to stay after and clean it all up, so help me out. We pretty much really are all volunteers here. We have a very minimally paid staff, and actually they all volunteer well with so many different things too, so I pretty much figure that they're paying to work here. All right, so let's see, parking. Sometimes it can get a little hairy around here. You're seeing the construction. You know, just go with it. You can pretty much park anywhere here in front of the building, across the street at the Exterminators, which is a funny place to park for Buddhist groups, but that's okay. All right, they're nice. Okay, we're working on them. So go ahead and park over there. You can even park in the back where their trucks are. There's a far back corner where there's kind of an auto company. Please don't park there because they have big trucks that go in and out, so we try to avoid that area. You're also free to park in the big Tricon building behind. And I tell you this because sometimes when you come like on a Sunday and stuff, it's going to be really, it's very busy. So fair warning on that. We're going to be meeting for 5 Tuesday nights, okay, from the 23rd through the 20th. I think they've got us on an extra night on the calendar, so we'll play that by ear. If we decide we want to get together, I can, whatever. But we're really only meeting for 5 sessions. We're going to run from 7 to 8:30. I will try to start and stop on time, so you can pretty much expect that. You'll get the most if you come to all the classes, but if you need to miss one, like I said, the recordings will be out there. You can kind of come in and go as you please. If you decide you're having a good time and another friend wants to come, bring them along. It's all good, all right? So don't feel like you have to. It's not regimented that way. While we have recommended books, there will be no tests, no pop quiz, nothing like that, okay? So that's good. We will have handouts, and I meant to try to get them up online for you before we started the class. Didn't get there, so I'll be making some phone calls tonight so that they will be up online for you. And I wanted to show you just briefly. Okay, this is the program for the center. So it's on in a little brochure case out there, and this has events that are going on. So if you want to know what's going on, you can grab one of this. It's got the class listings and stuff. All this information is online. Okay, the books for this class, if you don't have to buy any books. You know, we can just sit here and talk, and that's fine. If you find this interesting and you do want to, Venerable Amy Miller wrote this, Buddhism in a Nutshell, The Essentials for Practice and Study. A lot of what we're going to talk about in class is in here, but there's a lot more information in here. Okay, there's also a CD, all right? And she literally really took the time. Like, we're going to have an hour and a half and go through skipping across some things. She took, like, 2 hours per course and a lot of other information in here. In fact, some of the information that's in the book is not necessarily, there's more information on the CD. And if you're interested, this is a great place to start, okay? She's phenomenal, and Venerable Amy also does come here and teach sometimes. Okay, so we have a lot of visiting teachers that kind of come in and out of here. All right? And she's one of them, and she's wonderful. I'm not sure when she's going to be able to return, but she's another really good teacher. Those of you that are interested in meditation, how to meditate, okay? Kathleen McDonald, this is a phenomenal book, all right? And we're actually going to do some of the meditations because one of the things we're going to do here is just beginning meditation. But those of you that are interested, this is a book that I can highly recommend. I still, to this day, use it. And it's not like a reading book where you start at the front and read all the way back. You can kind of hop, skip, and jump. There's different meditations in here. Find what kind of chimes with you. So this is just a real good basic meditation book. And, of course, Buddhism for Beginners by Thupten Chodron, who was just here, is a wonderful book. And Buddhism for Dummies, I don't know why, but I just love that book. I've probably bought it 5 times because there's just really that kind of just basic information. I don't want all of it. I just want to know the dates. I want to know what's going on. I want to know the countries. That's a good book just for that kind of just factual type of information. I really feel like I'm just blathering. I know. I'll try to get to some questions and stuff here in a minute. Okay. So let's start right now with just a very, very basic introduction to meditation, okay? Those of you that have done this before, it is going to be dry and boring, and you can just zone out and go do your own thing mentally, and that's fine. But I'm going to start with just some very, very basic meditation. If you're sitting on the cushion, sit however you are comfortable, okay? I just want you to get comfortable, whether it's, you know, we'll walk through all of it. If you're sitting in a chair, that's just perfectly fine. I've got a bum knee, so I sit in chairs versus I've got a nice high cushion at home. But there's nothing holy about sitting on a cushion. That's not what meditation is about, and that's not what the cushions are about, okay? So you can meditate just perfectly fine on a chair. You can meditate on a bed. You can meditate walking, okay? If you're sitting in a chair, I'm going to walk you through a little bit of the things you might want to get. Just depending on if your feet can touch the ground, there are cushions underneath the chairs and here and there. You might want to get a cushion for your feet just so you can make sure that your feet rest comfortably on the ground. And you're going to be sitting just a little bit forward. I know I got this thing and see if I can do it. Because we're going to be working on our back. So I just want you to kind of get in the chair comfortably. And if you need a cushion for your feet, this would be a good time to do that. And again, this is going to be just basic. We're going to just go through some basics. And the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to talk about the position of the body. And again, what this position, this is a position that's called the 7-point meditation posture. And what this is, there's, again, nothing really holy about this. This is all about creating a stable position that can be held for a long time. And this position was developed by Tibetan Buddhists and Tibetan meditators. And so they've been doing it this way for thousands of years, and they pretty much figured out the best way to be able to do this. They're kind of the, I would say, the premier meditators, proven premier meditators in the world. They're the ones, the Tibetan meditators are the ones that are being studied by all of the different medical fields right now. It's most of them. So let's just walk through the position, and then we'll just do a very brief beginner meditation. You know, I was going to say something about cell phones, and I just thought, nah. And then I was waiting for mine to ring, actually. I just turned it off. If you could put your cell phones on silent or the meditate or whatever's going to work for you. Okay, so again, I'm just going to walk you through this. The legs, if possible, you could sit with your legs in the Vajra full lotus position. If not, that's just fine. The Vajra position, again, that just gives the best support to the body and mind, but it's completely, that's that cross-legged thing. Again, if you all want to see my knee go out, I'll do it, but we don't. Okay? You got it. But you can just sit comfortably. Sit comfortably, half lotus, whatever that you would like to do. If you're going to sit in a chair, you just put your feet, you know, basically flat on the floor, and just be comfortable as you can in the chair. Okay, so that's your legs. You're just going to ground your legs on the floor. Your arms, hold your hands loosely in your lap. We're going to place the right hand on the palm of your left. Okay, so it's kind of creating that teardrop position here. All right, and there's reasons for this. I'll explain them all later. Okay, so just go with it for right now. Right hand gently in the left. I'm resting about 2 to 3 inches below the navel. Shoulders and arms should be relaxed, but you're going to open your chest up, kind of a regal position. So it's just opening the chest up, the shoulders back, okay? The arms, hold your hands loosely in your lap. Shoulders and arms are relaxed. Arms should be slightly akimbo, leaving a bit of space between your arms and your body to allow air to circulate. This also helps to prevent sleepiness during the meditation. Your back, okay, number three is your back. Your back is very important. Should be straight, held relaxed, fully upright. What they use is they say the vertebrae should be kind of stacked. Kind of the image that I've always used is like there's a string, you know, at the top of the crown of my head and somebody's pulling it. So that stretches and elongates, okay? That's just that visual that has always helped me. This helps your energy to flow freely and contributes greatly to the clarity and alertness of your mind in meditation. The position of your legs helps to contribute to how easy it is to maintain the back. So this is why we keep our legs where they are, because it'll help us keep our back a little bit straighter. Okay? But just experiment for what works for you. With sitting on the cushion, sometimes if you're sitting a little bit to the front of the cushions, it just creates that little bit of leverage. Again, you're just going to have to work with this and see what works for you. But sometimes just edging to the front of the cushion gives a little bit of that stability. Again, you just work with whatever's comfortable for you. Okay? The eyes. In the beginning, it's often easier to concentrate with your eyes fully closed. Okay? This is totally fine, okay? You can have your eyes completely closed, and that's good. As you gain some experience with meditation, it's recommended that you leave your eyes slightly open to admit a little bit of light. And what they're talking about here is when we close our eyes, when you're starting, we're trying to kind of shut the world out. We need a little bit of help, so we totally have to close our eyes. After you get going on this, you know, when you totally close your eyes, you know, one of the symptoms, you could fall asleep. You can get really tired. You know, it's one of those things where we're relaxing. Meditation is not meaning totally zoning out to fall asleep. It's not a relaxation meditation. True meditation is really working with your mind. So for right now, you can go ahead and close your eyes a little bit. As you start working with us a little bit more, we would leave a little bit of light in between. The jaw and the mouth. Your jaw and mouth should be relaxed with your teeth slightly apart. Don't clench, okay? Just slightly apart and your lips slightly touching. Your tongue should rest lightly on your upper palate with the tip lightly touching the back of the other teeth. And again, part of that is to help so that there isn't a lot of saliva. There's a reason for everything that they did. Okay? Sometimes those kind of automatic bodily actions can be hindrances to deepening your concentration. Okay? Your head should be just slightly forward, so that your gaze is directed naturally toward the floor in front of you. And again, some of you are going to close your eyes, that's just fine. But if you're working on it, remember that string kind of pulls up? That's going to direct your eyes slightly closed to the floor in front of you. If you drop your head too far forward, you're going to get tired. If your head's too far, you're too easily distracted. Okay, so that's called the 7-point meditation posture. Okay, so let's just take a minute and get comfortable with that posture. Think of those 7 points again. Your legs, your arms, your back, your eyes, your jaw and your mouth, your tongue, and your head. Okay, scan your body and see if there's any issues that you can feel right now, any aches or pains or something that's kind of going wrong, and just settle into that position, okay? So just take a minute with that. Okay. Now we're going to take 3 deep breaths, okay? And I want you to try to inhale as much as possible. I want your stomach and lungs to expand. So let's do 3 deep breaths. Now allow your breathing to return to its normal pattern. Okay, just breathe normally. Now, we begin every meditation by setting our motivation, and that's the reason that we're doing this. Okay, why am I doing this? Why, out of all the things that I could be doing right now, am I sitting on a cushion at Kadampa Center with my eyes closed? Whatever reason prompted you to do it, that's great. If you're here just out of curiosity, that's good. If you're just here to see if it quiets your mind and helps relieve some stress, that's great. If you're here because you want to be a kinder person, that's wonderful. But it said that the best motivation, the most powerful one, is that if we even think something just as simple as this, just sitting quietly for a couple of minutes is being done by me so that I can benefit all living beings. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but just even thinking that way for a few minutes, okay, even if you've got to just force it out, you just got to make it up, okay? That's said to make an imprint on our mind that because of the laws of karma, that they will inevitably ripen into a positive way in the future. Okay, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It will have a beneficial result at some point in the future. So just grit your teeth, force it out. Okay, this is called the Mahayana, the great motivation. So I want you just to try to think that way for a minute, that you're sitting here at the center so that you can help all sentient beings. Now we've done what's called setting our motivation. Now that we've done that, we've set the reason that we're meditating. Okay, now we're going to begin the actual meditation. Okay, we're going to do a very, very simple, it's not easy, but it's simple, concentration meditation. All we're going to do is pay attention to our breath, the movement of our breath in and out through our nostrils. Okay, breathe in and out through your nose, normal breathing pattern. And I just want you to place your awareness on that breath. Nothing more, nothing less. The mind perceives the breath. We could almost say that the mind and the breath are one. Okay, we're not describing it. We're not counting the breath. We're just experiencing it. Every time we notice that the mind is experiencing something else, a sound, a sore muscle, a plan about what we need to do when we leave the center, got to stop at the store, got to get milk, a memory about something that happened today, oh, my boss yelled at me, my car didn't start. Okay, anytime you think of something else, bring your mind back to the breath. Just anytime you become aware of it, drop that thought and come back. Breathing in, breathing out. Over and over and over. The mind is becoming familiar with the experience of the breath. That's the meditation. Continue to come back to your breath. Now we can end our meditation with what we call a dedication. We mentally give ourselves a little pat on the back. We acknowledge that we've done something that's a little out of the ordinary for us. Okay, so tell ourselves good job. We reaffirm our motivation that just this simple meditation may it make on our mind stream an impression that will ripen in a way that benefits all living beings. So just, again, think about that motivation for a minute. bring your attention back into the room. How many people is that your very first meditation that you've ever done? Okay, that's what meditation is. Okay, meditation is not sitting and zoning out. In Tibetan Buddhist terms, let me be specific about that. There's many different kinds of meditation. In Tibetan Buddhism, there's really two major categories, and the first is concentration meditation, where you pick a chosen object and you concentrate on that. All right, we chose the breath. Okay, that's neutral. That's something that's always with us, so we can easily do that meditation. Okay. And that helps us to develop the ability to concentrate. We think we can concentrate, okay? But how many, let's be honest, how many of you stayed on the breath, or how many was saying, man, what happened? How long is this going to go on? When is she going to be done? Is everybody else just doing this? Should I look around? Is anybody looking at me? Man, I got to get some milk. My husband's going to be calling. My wife's going to be calling. What time is it? How long has this been? Really? So seriously, how many people were just a little bit fragmenting? Okay? It's hard, isn't it? But that's the practice. Meditation is when you actually, meditation is not sitting there and zoning. Meditation is when you actually bring your attention back, when you realize that you're someplace else. And then you go, oh, breath. Okay? And then you do it again, and you're on it for a little bit, and then all of a sudden you realize, I'm thinking about something totally different. Bring it back. That's what meditation is, the constant bringing it back. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay? Always just bring it back until you're like really, really good and you can stay in that pocket. Okay? This is what it's going to be for you. If you can meditate for 3 minutes and just keep bringing it back, in 10 seconds you're gone. Okay, first time I made a meditation room, first time I developed my room, I spent the whole time meditating thinking how I was going to decorate my room. I'm not kidding. All right. Oh, wow, this is really cool. I really like this. And I should have a chair over here. I should just, green. Green's a good color. No, bring it back. Yeah. A chair. I need a bigger cushion. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the breath. Yeah. Oh, my cat. Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm serious. That's just for me the way it went. It took a long time. This was many years ago. And even now, I've been meditating for years. I can get into it pretty quickly. Okay. And I've developed specific practices, over years that I can, do it. Some days, it's a bad day for me, and I know it, okay? Some days I can go right in that pocket, and I can sit there for an hour and really be, it's wonderful, okay? And then some days are hard. For me, meditation, it works, okay? When I'm in my zone and when I'm doing it every day, and doing it well, I am a better person. And that literally is what this is all about. Okay? See, I just went sideways, didn't I? Let's get back here. Okay, there's two major categories of meditation. The first is concentration. That's giving us the strength of mind to learn how to concentrate, to control our mind. Okay? It's practice to control our mind. The second form of meditation in Tibetan Buddhism is called analytical. So the first one is learning the control, and now we're going to take a subject and we're going to dissect it, okay? Whatever that subject is, whether it's compassion, whether it's anger, whether it's, I don't care, pride, okay? I got really upset at work today because, I should have gotten that promotion or whatever. So you pick a subject and then you work with your mind on why you're thinking the way you are. Okay, that's analytical meditation. Okay, we think that we have. We think that we have this ability to multitask, and in all actuality, multitasking is not possible. And that's not. I mean, Tibetan Buddhists say that, but scientists are now saying that. Okay, you literally can't hold two thoughts in your head at the same time. Okay, you think you can, but your mind is actually going back and forth. Okay. And then those of us that tis, okay, we're spinning, fragmenting, too many thoughts. And it's just pulling it down so that you can just breathe. It's giving yourself that space to breathe and work through something. Is all this making sense? Okay, you know what? I'm going to stop for a second because I want to go around the room and who's got any questions about what I've talked about so far, anything that I've said about the meditations themselves, Christian, you're so awesome. You're going to turn the mic on. He's ready. He's on it. Okay, any questions or thoughts about anything right now? Anything that I've said so far tonight? Okay. I just made so much sense, really? Oh, no. There's one, right? Let's start here, and then we'll go back there.
You said concentrational meditation and analytical?
Analytical, yeah. Analytical. Concentration and analytical.
You have to master both or just one at a time?
Well, you're going to do one at a time just because we can't do two thoughts. The concentration, the way that I think about it, okay, is the concentration is kind of that that practice just learning to concentrate. And we need to do a little bit of that all the time, okay? Because without that concentration, it's hard to go to the analytical because you'll start spinning. And again, this is I'm going to speak for myself, okay? I like to do a concentration meditation when I first start. Every time I meditate, I'll do a little one, even just on the breath, because it helps to center me. Okay, so it helps to get rid of all of the stresses I've had about the day or worrying about what's going to happen during the day, depending on when I meditate. Okay, so I'll do that just to breathe, the concentration meditation, just to settle my mind a little bit. Okay, then I want to go to an analytical meditation during that same meditation session, and at that time I'm going to work out, okay, I'm going to be real honest here because we have to. It's the only way I can explain things really well. Okay, why am I so upset with my husband right now? You know, I'm mad about something. Why is that? Okay, so I'll actually go through things, or why am I upset with a kid or a client or whatever that I'll pick a situation. Okay, and then I'll go through and I'll figure it out, and it usually comes down to something I'm doing, not something they're doing. So, but you can do analytical meditations about anger, okay, and really think about it. The best time to handle anger, if you tend to get angry a lot, is to think about it in a calm moment so you can figure it out so that maybe it'll give you that breath before you do, so it's working on specific things. But you need the concentration so that it gives you the ability to work with your mind. Okay? And then once you have that ability, you can do the analytical a little bit more.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
I hope so. Ask me more if you don't. There was a question back there, too. And anytime, Scott, Lloyd, jump in. All right, I'm going to call on people that know a lot.
I have watched some YouTube videos on how to meditate.
Okay.
And during the breathing portion, I find myself counting my breath.
Okay.
One, two, three, mm-hmm. four. Is that something that I should try to clear and be thinking more of breathe in, breathe out?
Okay.
That's kind of where I'm stuck.
Nope, you're not stuck at all. Actually, you're right there because counting the breath is another meditation. Okay, one of the things that we're going to do is I'm going to go through several different types of meditations, okay? And what I'm hoping to do here, okay, is offer you this platter of here's all these things to try, okay? And then your responsibility is to cherry pick through and find out what's going to work for you, okay? Because what works for you is not going to work for you. What works for you is going to work for him, but, you know, it's not going to work for her. We're all different, okay? So that's part of what Buddhism, that's part of, to me, what is so cool about Buddhism, is that there's really, honestly, something here for everybody, all right? So there are many different kinds of meditations, many different tools. You know, these are tools to work with your mind, all right? So counting the breath is actually one of my favorites. Okay, and there's actually different meditations for different counting the breath. You can do, and again, we'll go through some of these practices, but one has you count up to 10 or up to 11 and then start over every time, okay? And then sometimes when you're doing that one, all of a sudden you find yourself, you're on 25. Okay, bummer. Start over. I'm serious. Wait till you try this stuff. Okay, so that's a good one. One of them will have you count up to 10 and then backwards. Because this is working with your mind. It is not zoning out, and it is not easy. It's simple. It is not easy. So counting is very much, that is a method. Uh-huh. Yep.
To breathe.
Yep. And that works. It's a good one. I use it a lot. So, again, that is one form of concentration meditation. Picking, again, concentration meditation is picking an object, okay? And it can be the breath. It can be a candle. It can be a flower. Again, you know, this is part of what we'll talk about, that you find what's going to work for you. All right. What other questions? Yes, ma'am.
I've heard of a meditation before where it's like you light a candle and you have to constantly stare at it. Is that a common one?
That's a very common one. It's a concentration meditation. That's not one that I have done, so I can't speak to it very much. But you're picking one object to concentrate on. And again, part of it, you're going to sit there and you're going to look at that candle, and you can't all of a sudden be thinking about, you know, wow, I should have had a red candle instead of a green candle. You know, or, oh, that wax is going to drip on my carpet. I better change something right now. Okay, so it's a concentration and always bringing your mind back to that flame. Yes, sir.
What about using something like incense or the scent of the candle?
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to be a little careful with that. Because you don't want to use a smell for concentration meditation. Because, I use incense in my room. That's another one of those things that I got off on a tangent. Oh, which incense would smell better? You'll figure it out. Because smell is one of those things that instantly, it's a proven fact that your auditory senses will help put you in a memory place faster than anything. Okay? So it's part of my pattern. Okay, to when I start, as I start some incense and stuff, because it just brings me there faster. We don't use incense here at the center very much because we have people that have allergies and stuff, so otherwise we'd be filled with a room of incense right now. But using smell as a concentration is not one that's very recommended from my knowledge right now, because it's I'm not going to explain this very well. It's too hard to do a meditation on that, and it's a concentration, okay? It's something that can be used, from my knowledge, something that can be used as an aid in getting you to an easier place just because you create this atmosphere. But actually to use that on just the smell, I'm going to check on that, but that's not one that I've got any knowledge on that, using an incense.
As Sandy mentioned, there are many, many, many different types of meditation, both within Tibetan Buddhism and outside of Tibetan Buddhism. So you may have done other types, you may have heard about other types where people are doing things that are very different from what we do here. There are some practices where we use incense, like, for example, if you look up on the altar, we have these water bowls, which are, it's kind of making an offering, like you're making a gift to the Buddha. And it's just something you do for your mind, for practicing generosity. And one of the things you do, there's a whole ritual around it and a whole practice around it. One of those things you do is you light incense and you use it to kind of clear out the bowls before you pour the water in. So there are certain specific things that you use incense for, but it's not anything that's certainly absolutely necessary. Yeah, and it's not necessarily an object. And it's generally, from what I've heard, considered beneficial to a lot of the basic meditation classes. We'll just have you focus on your breath first, and you may find that counting the breath, that particular meditation works better. You may find that just the one that Sandy did where you're just focusing on your breath without counting. But the idea is you always have your breath with you. If you don't, then you don't need to meditate anymore. But you always have your breath with you. So anywhere where you have time, anywhere where you can sit down and practice this meditation, of even if that's on your lunch break at work and you just want to sit for 5 minutes and practice this meditation of counting the breath, you always have that with you. And that's once you get very good at that, then you would tend to start maybe doing some of these other meditations where you're meditating on other objects.
All right. I'm going to keep it real. I hate to meditate. I absolutely can't stand it. I've done the 101 class. One way, I try to do it every day. One way that helps me is like setting my alarm, like my cell phone alarm.
Uh-huh.
Am I injuring myself by saying to myself, okay, I can handle 3 minutes today. I'm going to do 3 minutes.
Nope. Do you know that there are many people that come here to the center that actually never, ever sit on a cushion? Don't do it. They're like, Chris is raising his hand back there. This is Chris, our awesome audio-visual volunteer. No, you're not. Is it something from my point of view that, yeah, if you can force yourself to do 3 minutes, sooner or later you might have a breakthrough and it will work.
And if
you
can,
you know it, and it's just trying to find what's going to work for you because there's so many different kinds, okay? And it's, you know, maybe we just haven't hit on the one that's that works for you. So it's continuing to try the different ones because it does make such a difference, again, for me. But there are many people that it doesn't. But I would just continue to try it because it's not going to hurt you, you know, even if it's just 3 minutes. I just discovered I've got a mindfulness bell on my phone now that goes off every half an hour just to kind of bring me back. Just something as simple as that. So it's just trying is not going to hurt you. It will never hurt you to try it. Okay, if you really just... Go to 2 minutes, then.
That makes me feel better. Thanks.
Okay. We're over here.
How does guided meditation when somebody else guides you through, does that fit into Tibetan meditation?
Absolutely. There are some people, some of the teachers here, the lay teachers that teach the Discovering Buddhism class, Don Brown specifically, Robbie Watkins, those are two people that that they do, they'll talk you through guided meditations. For instance, what's a good one? Tonglen, okay. Tonglen is probably one of the meditations, again, I'm going to be very honest and always tell you the ones that I really like because they work for me. Tonglen is a meditation called giving and receiving, and it's about true compassionate love. And Don Brown does a beautiful guided meditation on Tonglen, okay, where he will actually talk you through. Now, actually, kind of what I did a little bit tonight was a little bit of a guided meditation because I talked through it, okay? So, and then I tried to give times where I was quiet so it would give you that time. Because there's nothing worse than somebody, you know, be quiet, think of the breath, and then I keep talking, you're listening to me. You weren't really thinking about the breath, you're listening to me. So that, you know, so that's kind of that work. But, yeah, guided meditation, there is a wonderful place for that. There are times where I've actually, back in the day when I was starting, because, okay, there's another one. So I've got this meditation book. I'm trying to read this book, and it's telling me how to do it, so I'm trying to... What did you say? So I actually recorded myself so I could, you know, you do what you got to do, okay? But then once you get going, it'll work. But some people love the guided meditation and some people don't like it at all. Again, it's all about what works for you, okay?
I just want to mention real quick, I think you just mentioned it, but maybe the smartphone, there's all kinds of apps and there's one that I like that's called Inside Timer.
Yes, I've got that one too. We'll put a list up, okay? All the apps that are so cool.
Yeah. It's just for other people. It just does this beautiful
gong. It's called Insight
gong,
Timer.
And you can program it for different things, but it'll do a nice little gong to start you and a gong for whatever time you set. So you don't have to use your alarm clock.
One of the things that he's talking about, and again, I'm going to always use my reference, things that have worked for me so you can take it or leave it. And I'll try to be clear when I'm talking about something that I'm, you know, speaking of from my experience versus something that's, you know, the fact that I've been taught. One of the hindrances that I had back in the beginning was when I was meditating, for some reason I was always constantly worrying about the time. Okay, because I'm sitting there and it's like, has it been 2 minutes? Has it been 20 minutes? I have no clue. And I would always think, oh, it's been too long. I got things to do, or I was always worrying about time. So once I got a meditation timer, and then I was able to... It's okay. There you go. Well, I think we're interfering. Okay. But once I was able to let go of time, you know, I discovered that that was one of the things that was just causing a lot of problems. I couldn't just let go. I was constantly thinking... Has it been 5 minutes? Has it been 10 minutes? Has it been an hour? Once I actually got a meditation timer, you know, then for whatever reason, I was able to let it go. And now I can use the meditation timer to set it so I know if I've got a half an hour, if I've got an hour, I've got 20 minutes, whatever I've got. And then, you know, I can choose to turn it off because it's got this beautiful bell so it doesn't disrupt me. But you just need to find those things that are working for you or what's not working. Maybe it's trying to define why isn't this working. And for me, one of my issues was I was always worried about time. And so then, you know, you'd stop and you're looking, you know, okay, so I'm not thinking about my breath. I'm worrying about what time is it. So you find out maybe what those things are, maybe work with that. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So in the concentration meditation, you said think about your breath. when you said that, I was thinking, like, okay, in, out, I'm breathing. I'm breathing. Like, all these thoughts were going through my head. Is that okay? It's like, I don't understand, like, how my thoughts.
You're just learning. It's the first time you've ever done it. So that's just some of those things that it's, and we'll work on this more, okay? But it's trying to, you know, and I remember doing that. In, out, in, out, thinking about, again, we're thinking about it, okay? And it's just continue to do it because your mind is becoming, meditation means to become familiar with. Okay, so this is your mind becoming familiar with the breath. Once you practice it a few times, you'll relax. Because right now it's like, am I supposed to be thinking this? Am I worried about this? Should I be thinking in, out, in, out?
So it's literally supposed to be nothing.
You know what? You're just experiencing the breath, okay? And for some people, they concentrate. If you do it right now, just, you know, close your mouth and just quietly breathe through your nose. It feels, for me, a little cooler going in and a little warmer going out. So, they'll say to kind of concentrate on, you know, the feeling of the air through your nose. And all of a sudden you're going to go, oh, I'm thinking of my nose. Okay. So it's just practicing and working with it. And it'll start to, after you get going on it, you practice it, it won't feel so weird. And you won't worry about, we got a question back there, and you won't worry about, you know, the biggest thing is to let go of, am I supposed to be thinking about this? But just, you know, we'll continue to work on it. The counting is a good, you know, if just being with the breath seems to be a little hard, you know, we'll try a counting meditation. Okay, so we're just going to try a few and see what works. Yes, sir.
So are you saying that the idea of using words in your head at some point is supposed to go away, that self-talk inside your mind no longer occurs?
Yep.
Okay.
And you know why?
So if you're thinking words,
you're gonna,
then that's the beginning, and you're
that's the beginning.
To get past all that.
Okay, because right now, the best way I can say it, and again, this is an analogy that I heard Scott use, and I've heard other people use it for different things, but I just love it for this way. Okay, we are literally using our mind to work with our mind. That's a little difficult. So imagine that you are trying to work on your car while it's barreling down the freeway at 60 miles an hour. And by the way, change that hubcap. It's difficult. We're using the mind to work with the mind. Okay? And the mind is a very powerful, I think you've seen all the pictures in Buddhism about either, you know, the monkey mind, you know, you'll hear that term a little bit, or the elephant mind. Okay, the elephant is so powerful that we're just trying to yoke that elephant. Okay, so your mind is just, we're using the mind to work with the mind. Right now, we're talking in words. We have to label things because that's how we communicate. But pretty soon we're going to learn how to maybe let some of that go a little bit. And it's a practice, okay? It is a journey, not a destination, you know. If we were all perfect, we'd be Buddhas already and we wouldn't have to practice. It's a practice, okay? Yes, ma'am. This is great. I love discussion. It makes my life easier.
I was busy breathing and fragmenting. Would you repeat what the great motivation line
you're
using? It was beautiful, but I couldn't catch all of it.
All right. You know what? That brings me back. That's good. Okay. What we do before, one of the things about Buddhism, how do I want to start this? Okay. One of the lessons that we use and the tools that we use, okay, is both a motivation and a dedication. Okay, so we used a motivation at the beginning when we started the meditation, and then we said a dedication afterwards, kind of bookended that, okay? Now think about this. If we did a motivation anytime we started an action, anytime we did something, okay, for everything, talk about mindfulness. If we set a motivation every time we did something and dedicated that beautiful energy and effort afterwards, what a change we'd make already, wouldn't it? Okay? The Mahayana motivation, okay, because specifically, and I'm like going to run out of time so badly here. We're at the Kadampa Center, which is a Buddhist center in the Gelupa tradition, okay? And that's in the Mahayana tradition. What that means is we're in the same tradition as the Dalai Lama. That's the lineage following through this. There's many different types of Buddhism. I'm going to kind of scatter here for a minute because you're asking a specific question. The Mahayana tradition is basically we're looking to reach enlightenment for the benefit of all sentient beings. So just sitting here, just being in this class, if we can kind of think about that motivation, it's not just for ourselves, okay, that we want to reach. I mean, certainly we have to get there first. We have to become wise so that we know how to help others. But we really are looking to be of benefit to all. And when I say sentient beings, okay, you ready for this one? It doesn't mean just people, okay? Sentient beings means anybody with a mind. Okay, a mind bearer, okay? So we're talking about insects, we're talking about animals, okay? We're talking about anybody with a mind, okay? So all of a sudden we need to benefit everything, okay? So that kind of opens that up a little bit. All right, again, we're going to go through this all a little bit more carefully. But that, if you're asking specifically, what was said at that time... Did you want it specifically, or you understand it? Okay. All right. Let's back up. Any other questions real quick before we go through that? Okay. And this is exactly what I'm hoping will happen every night. Okay. I want this kind of discussion because this is what I think is going to be the most beneficial. When I sit up here and just talk, I really start to feel, I want to say not so much uncomfortable, but you know, it's that blah, 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 blah. I'd rather you talk and ask questions because I think that that's how I learn best. Okay? So let's talk about what we're going to cover over this next 5 weeks, okay? This is an introductory course we're going to provide a basic overview of Buddhism, all right? The Buddhist philosophy, the principles for complete beginners. Again, I don't want to deep dive too much because we have other classes for that. Okay? We are not proselytizing. I'm not trying to turn everybody Buddhist, okay? It's not about that. And I'm really not assuming that anybody's interested in becoming a Buddhist, okay? You're just looking for basic information, and that's what we're going to try to provide here. All right? This is part of your responsibility is to listen carefully to what I'm offering, figure out the things that are going to help you, figure out what's, you know, maybe not going to help you and set it aside, all right? If there's something that you don't understand or you're not going to quite get, like when we get down to reincarnation and all that other stuff, okay, if there's something that you're really not sure about, you know, put up this imaginary bookshelf and just set it up there for a minute, okay? Hang on to it. Don't discount it. Don't discard it, okay? Just let it sit there for a little bit, okay? But I don't want you to just believe it just because I'm saying it. I want you to check it out. Okay, even the Buddha said, okay, listen to what I'm saying. Don't agree with it just because it's me that's saying it. You need to check it out. You need to, you know, remember the old gold essayers, where they would just test every little piece and particle to figure out if it was true gold? That's what you need to do with some of these Buddhist precepts, some of these facts, some of these things that we're going to talk about, okay? See if it works for you. If it doesn't, you know what? Let it go, all right? There are literally, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of teachings, all right? And what's going to work for you is not going to work for you. That's why there are so many, because we have so many different minds, okay? We're going to talk about the life of Shakyamuni Buddha. We're going to talk about the Four Noble Truths. We're going to talk about the Lam Rim, the graduated path, the different ways that you can actually use some of these tools. We're going to talk about what it means to be Buddhist, all right? We're going to talk about the specifics of the path, the different types of Buddhism, the different schools, a little history of it, just kind of a big overview of what's going on. All right. Some of it with Buddhism, you know, and some of the reason that we come to places like this, and we start asking those questions about, you know, what does life mean? Those big, deep questions. You all, you know, we've got several students that are into, you know, theology classes or, you know, spiritual classes, divinity classes or, you know, whatever it is that you're going. Those are those big life questions that we all have. You know, that's one of the reasons that we come to places like this. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, the meaning of life. How did the Buddha answer those questions? Go into some of those things. So that's what we're going to try to do in the rest of the time tonight. So guess what? I'm going to start talking faster. All right? Right now, I know, we're going to go over some basics, okay? I'm going to go through, let's go through the life of the Buddha real quick. And whatever we don't get through tonight, we'll do some, you know, review again next week. And then we'll go through some of these things. So whatever I didn't make tonight, let's just go. Okay, so now I'm going to give you some factual information, okay, that gives us a base for Buddhism. The first thing is really, who is the Buddha? Okay. The Buddha was born about 2,600 years ago, and he was born into the royal family of King Shidona and Queen Maya. All right? And he was named Siddhartha. Now, how many people saw Keanu Reeves, the movie Keanu Reeves with that? A couple of people? Okay. How many saw the newest, the PBS, the Buddha? Okay. Yeah, a little different. Okay. Two different movies, same concept. At the time of Siddhartha's birth, a prophet was brought in. Again, we're talking 2,500 years ago. Okay, and a prophet was brought in, a seer, to give a casting. Okay, and this prophet said he's either going to grow up to be a great king or he's going to grow up to be a holy man. All right? Well, the king, Siddhartha's dad, of course, he wanted him to follow in his own footsteps, okay, especially given the time. You know, he did not want him to become a holy man. So one of the things that he did is that he shielded Siddhartha from everything, okay, from anything that he could see. This man, you know, he was a king back in the day, so you can imagine what that was like. He had access to everything, and he had all of the financial resources available to really have Siddhartha put in this beautiful surroundings, only beautiful people, only beautiful things around him. He made sure that he never saw anything distressing. He never saw anybody get sick. He never saw anybody die. He never, you know, had to want for a thing. Okay? Now, if you think about that, you know, how many of us try to do that with our kids today? Okay? If I could have wrapped them in a golden little shield bubble, I would have done it. I tried to do it as much as I could. So here's this young man growing up in this, you know, beautiful surroundings, never seeing any of these things. He was, according to many of the writings and stuff, he was, you know, a very handsome young man, very athletic. Anything he put his hand to, he could do. Just this wonderful young man, very kind, and he never wanted for anything. Well, it was one time he snuck out of the castle. Okay, I think it sounds kind of like Cinderella type of things. You know, I think we hear some of these stories and stuff. But he snuck out of the castle with a couple of his servants, and he went into the town. Okay, and he saw four sights. All right, he saw a sick person, he saw an old man, he saw a dead body, and he saw a monk. All right, and each time these were things he had never seen. Okay. Ever. So he's asking his servants, you know, with that sick person, you know, so what is that? I mean, you can imagine it's probably some plague written type thing, you know. So what is that? What's wrong with that person? Well, he's sick, so they were trying to explain. And Siddhartha had never seen any of this. He'd never seen somebody sick. Anytime anybody got sick at the castle, they were taken out. Okay, and that really disturbed him to think that anybody can get sick. Everybody, somebody I care about can get sick. That really bothered him. Again, think about that. You know, children do that even today. We think we do that today, even now. Somebody gets sick and we're shocked. You know, we don't want it to ever happen to somebody that we care about. Okay. He saw a very, very old man. Okay. Again, he'd never seen a lot of aging at all because anybody at the castle that started to age, they slowly, you know, filtered them out. So, again, he asked his servants, what's wrong with that person? Well, that's an old man. That's going to happen to all of us. All right? Think about that, especially in this Western society. Okay. We try to fight against seeing old people. We have so many different surgeries and plastic surgery. We're fighting old age all the time, aren't we? Okay. So we do it today. They did it back then. He never saw that before. He saw a dead body, and that was quite shocking to him. And so he was asking, you know, what happened to that person? What is that? And they had to explain death to him. How many people in this room have ever seen a dead body? Okay. Actually, quite a few. That was more than I was expecting. Okay. For a lot of people, especially, again, in the Western world, they just haven't because we don't, you know, we do things a little bit differently than they do in a lot of the foreign countries where you try to keep your family members with you. You know, a lot of people just don't. So it's very shocking for anybody, and it was very shocking for Siddhartha to see it for the first time. Okay. And then he saw a priest, and a holy man, a monk, all right? And he was asking, well, who is that? How is that man seem to be so calm and to be so happy in all of this, you know, dismay that I see here, you know, with sick people and dead people and, you know, how come he seems to be? So he was very attracted to this monk. And he just really went back to the palace and really thought about this. That really bothered him. How could he be so happy in this palace? How could he go through this life of beauty and, you know, not needing for anything when there was all of that suffering out in the world? And that's when he decided that he was not satisfied. He could not deal with his life in that way. And so that's when he left the castle and he went off to try to find some answers, these answers to what is the meaning of the life. You know, how can you do this? So the first thing, so all of a sudden he had this wonderful life of everything. He had everything. Okay, anything he wanted. Okay, now he went completely the far end of the other way. Okay, and he went into this life of austerity. All right, he began the practice of very austere asceticism. Okay, believing that just forsake everything. Okay, I've got to let everything go. I don't want any of it because it's all wrong. Okay, so he was working with, started practicing with, I think it was five other fellow seekers. Yeah, five other monks. They all went down this practice. He started working with many different teachers, spiritual teachers. And that's when he wound up with these five other seekers. And that's when they decided that they were just going to try to give everything up and just live on just the basics. I mean, there's even stories of like one grain of rice a day. Okay, just give everything up. Okay, and just meditate. And that's all they did for years. Okay, and you've seen those pictures, I think. You know, you've seen all the different representations of the Buddha. And you've got those ones where you can see every rib. You know, that's that taking it too far that way. And he got so very, very weak that it was just, he discovered that it was just, that wasn't working. He was actually so weak, he wasn't able to meditate. And one day he was sitting by a river, you know, really probably close to death, is what they say. And this little boat, this little canoe went by, and on this canoe, in this boat, was a musician, okay, and he was stringing his lute. And it was at that point he saw that if the string was too loose, it didn't play right, and if it was too tight, it didn't play right. But when it was just tight and just right, that all of a sudden this beautiful sound came out, okay, and that's when he basically came up with the middle way. Don't go to both ends of the extremes. It doesn't work. Okay? And so there was a young lady that came, found him, fed him, sheltered him, and that's when he really started to decide, you know what, I've got to do this the middle way. One extreme to the other is just not going to work. So then with renewed determination, he's got his strength back. He's figured that both extremes are not good, but he's going to figure this out. And that's when he went to Bodh Gaya, which is what we call that place of enlightenment. And that's over in eastern India. And that's when he sat down under that Bodhi tree, and he resolved that he just wasn't going to get up until he figured this out. All right? And he sat there, and he meditated on this, and he just started going through all of these things in his mind. All right? He decided he was not going to get up until he became enlightened. Now, I'm really skipping across all of this stuff, okay? Toward the last of his meditation, the last of the delusions, the best way I'm going to explain this, we'll go through it quickly and then I'll try to go a little bit deeper, but the last of the all those distractions that we have when we sit down and meditate, we try to do this, the last of the maras, or delusions, just came at him so strong, okay, trying to disrupt his meditation, okay, anger, confusion, attachment, desire, all these things. He was just thinking of all of them, and that's when he just basically broke through, and you've seen that picture of the Buddha. Actually, we've got it right there, where his hand is reaching down, touching the earth, and that's that sign of, you know, he called the earth to witness, okay, and it said at that moment that he reached enlightenment, that all of the delusions, everything broke through, and he reached enlightenment, okay, and so that was when he reached enlightenment. It was the end of his suffering and his determination to help all sentient beings. All right? So, at that moment, that's when he became a Buddha. Okay? And what a Buddha means is a fully awakened one. Okay? Siddhartha was not a god. He was a man. A Buddha is not a god. It's a man who has, or woman, an enlightened being. Somebody who has become fully awakened. Okay? Buddhism believes that each of us has that ability, okay? We each have that ability within us to reach enlightenment, all right? And there is a very specific path to do that, okay? As the Buddha was not a god, as he was just a man, as he could not reach out and magically give enlightenment to all of you, to me, to any of the people that he was with, he did the next best thing. He got up and he taught. Okay? So he got up and he taught people how to do what he had just done. And it's those teachings, okay, that have been passed down for 2,500 years that we study. All right? So that's what all of these in these little boxes up here, okay? These are the teachings of the Buddha. Okay? So that's what part of what means to be a Buddhist, is one who studies the teachings of the Buddha. Okay? So that's kind of a very brief overview. He went back, after he became enlightened, he went back and he found those five monks that he had been studying with. All right? And at first they knew that there was something different about him. They, you know, took him a little bit to figure it out. And once they realized and he started teaching them, okay, they were his first disciples. Okay, and again, I'm giving you real, there's some wonderful books out there, great movies on this, but I mean, literally, we're running out of time. So any major questions about, again, I'm just trying to give you that full on, you know, I think Robbie Watkins tells the story really well. He says, Buddha was born, he was a man, he was a king, he was a priest, and then he died. The end. I mean, literally, boom, that's it. Yes, ma'am.
So what do you mean by enlightenment?
Okay.
What did he figure out?
We're going to start doing some glossary terms, because that way we can make sure that we're all on the same page. Okay? And literally we are going to start working with some glossary terms, because this is going to be a very important thing as we go forward, because we're working with like four different languages here. Okay, we're doing English translations of Sanskrit and Tibetan and Pali. Okay, so words that we use easily in the English language, and the things like enlightenment, the things like the mind, things like suffering. Okay, we're going to be working with a glossary, because I have found that that's one of the things that is really beneficial. Okay, enlightenment. Okay, in Sanskrit it's called Bodhi. Because you hear that word Bodhi mind, okay, the Bodhi tree, how to reduce some of these things. Okay, enlightenment is full awakening, Buddhahood, omniscience, the ultimate goal of a Mahayana Buddhist, attained when all limitations have been removed from the mind and one's positive potential has been completely and perfectly realized. It is a state characterized by infinite compassion, wisdom, and skill. Basically, what it's saying is when all the obscurations have been taken out and away from your mind, okay, so you've got this onion, we have all these different things, anger, attachment, jealousy, pride, when all negative aspects of your mind have been purified and only the virtuous and positive remains. Okay? So let me read that again. All limitations have been removed from the mind and one's positive potential has been completely and perfectly realized. That's the definition of enlightenment. Okay? Man, wow. We went through... I'm never going to get to the Four Noble Truths. Let's do this real quickly. We'll do this quickly, and then we can talk about it in more depth, okay? Go ahead. Oh, please. Christian's going to be the permanent mic guy.
One of the things that and I think I heard this from Robbie that was really helpful, but when we talk about enlightenment, there are a lot of these terms that can really, we can go really far off with,
yeah,
and seem very esoteric. And a really good explanation that I heard is, so enlightenment is when you completely eliminate all the non-virtuous states of mind that we walk around with and completely develop all virtuous states of mind. And to kind of simplify those terms, non-virtuous states of mind, I mean, we know what they are, right? Anger, jealousy, selfishness, all those things we could probably label easily, but a simple definition of it is virtuous states or non-virtuous states of mind are selfish states of mind when we're really just focused on ourselves. So it's, imagine the ability to totally eliminate all those non-virtuous states from your mind and then fully develop all virtuous states of mind, like generosity, like love, like compassion. And again, a definition of virtuous states of mind being states of mind that are based on compassion. So that's what enlightenment is, and that's what Buddhahood is. And again, in this tradition, we see it as a very, very real, achievable thing that you can fully eliminate all these non-virtuous states from your mind and fully develop all those virtuous states. And that's what it means to become a Buddha.
Mm-hmm. And one other thing, virtuous means anything that... the end result of virtuous happiness. That was the other one that would be good. Questions? Okay, go ahead.
I just got another piece of it, too, is to break through, like, ignorance. So, and ignorance is, like, you know, seeing things in a way, you know, you see a thing in a certain way, and it generates negativity, but then after enlightenment, you kind of see clearly how everything works together and how, you know, and just see it and go, ah, that's kind of a part of it too. I don't know if that
breaking through ignorance. There was another question over here someplace. Yes, sir.
It doesn't say in the pamphlet, but does the Gashagalak achieve enlightenment or not?
All right. Geshe Gelug, he's asking if Geshe-la has achieved enlightenment. The best way I can answer that is an enlightened being will not tell you. Okay? So, if I was sitting here, to me, one of the fun little practices is I can sit here and pretend all of y'all are enlightened and you are all here for my benefit. Try that. Think about that. You're the only one in this room that isn't enlightened. Everybody else is, and they're only here for you. But that's just a fun little practice. But Geshe-la, okay, he will never say that he is enlightened. Okay, for me, he is such a phenomenal teacher that he's amazing. Okay, but an enlightened being is never going to say that they're enlightened. Okay, and we have beings, we have people, that phenomenal teachers in all the different faiths. If you think about it, one of Geshe-la's favorite teachers or people that he likes to read is Mother Teresa. Okay, she provides him with so much inspiration. We have people, you know, that are in our lifetime that we can consider these, you know, amazing beings, whatever their spirituality. Okay, Mahatma Gandhi, Mother Teresa. There's people of all faiths that we can look at that can be examples to us. Whether they're enlightened, they're never going to say. But we can also learn much from the people that are a little bit trying to us. They always say that our best teachers are those that are doing something wrong that we don't like, because it makes us think about things a little bit more. And again, I can go into things in more depth, but we really ran. Where did that time go? I didn't get through anything. Okay, so we're going to stop. I'm not going to go through the Four Noble Truths right now because we really need the time. My name is Sandy Carlson. That's the website. You can reach me at membership@kadampacenter.org. I'm also the membership coordinator here. We all wear many, many different hats. So if you've got questions at any time, okay, go ahead and reach out. Email me. I probably am going to steer you to somebody else to answer it, but feel free. Feel free to give me a call, and we can set up a time. I'll try to get your questions answered. I thank you all for coming. Next week, we'll talk about the Four Noble Truths. That'll be a lot. There's going to be, I'm going to try to make sure that the handouts are going to be up on the website. So if you go to the website, go to Spiritual Programs, and then find Buddhism in a nutshell. I'll have the PDFs up there. I'll try to get them up tonight, if not by tomorrow, of all the different handouts that we've got. The handouts are going to be a listing of the Four Noble Truths. Go over that a little bit. It's going to have some basic handouts or meditation. There will be some easy meditations that we're going to go over. So you should be able to print those off. And we'll talk more about what it means to be Buddhist, and we'll go through some more discussion, okay? Because I think that I find this very helpful. I hope you guys do. I'm sorry, time just went away. I didn't get through anything. Okay, so what do we have to do now, everybody? We have to dedicate, okay? So, again, now think about this. So the next time you need to do something, okay, think about creating a motivation for doing it, okay? And I'm not talking about just getting in your car, but when you motivate yourself to go to work, now I'm going to go to work and I'm going to do my best to be nice to everybody today. And maybe it'll work for 5 minutes, maybe it'll work for 5 hours, I don't know. But give it a shot, okay? But think about it, okay, to benefit everybody, okay? And then you dedicate all that wonderful energy. So right now, let's just take just a brief minute to just stop and dedicate. We really did come and sit here at Kadampa Center. You meditated, okay? We thought about it. We learned a little bit about the Buddha and all this stuff. You know, maybe it's going to do something for me. Maybe it's going to make me a happier person. You know, I hope it does. Maybe it makes me a more beneficial person and that I can help others. You know, it's really that simple. It really is that simple. Not easy, simple, okay? So all of this is practice. Okay, try the breathing meditation at home. Give it a shot. We'll do some others, and we'll talk more. And again, next Tuesday, 7 o'clock, I'll try to get better and not get so distracted on things, and we'll actually get through something. Okay? Thank you so much.